The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Yeah, we experienced it last year with Cork. They were complacent. Their game plan was set up to prepare for another team, as if they were playing Dublin. That's coming from the coaches. So don't talk about they weren't complacent. They were.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at GetsetGo.ie.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome along to Friday Night Racing, or Friday Afternoon Racing if you're on the early showing. And our matinee is, of course, every 3 o'clock on Friday afternoons. We broadcast this live on OTB Sports Radio, on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitter as well. And then, of course, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, we are a staple now at Friday Night Racing, 8 o'clock. Friday Night Racing, 8 o'clock on News Talk on Off the Ball. Johnny, how are you?
Friday Night Racing, 8 o'clock.
You made this look too easy, Johnny. That was it. I'm freaked out now by your presence, A, in studio, and the fact that we're doing it together.
Yeah, I think the people who performed in your stead did better than you normally do, to be honest.
Good.
Including me.
Good, that will raise all our standards.
You're also a boss of mine, so probably shouldn't have.
Nothing like a bit of competition.
Yeah. No, it was good. Stepped in, and racing people are open to outsiders coming in, and they don't, even if you're interviewed by somebody who's not necessarily into racing or that, like, I think racing people are very fair. Like, they'll answer in a manner that's, if they're on, say, racing TV, or if they're in the specialist newspaper, they'll be a bit different if they're talking to someone like us, because we are trying to sell the sport as well to people who are not necessarily into racing. And I guess one of the challenges there is a lot of jargon. Like, if you look at a race meeting, there's a lot of jargon, and you know, there's weights, there's claimers, there's blah, 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 handicaps, there's stakes races, a lot of stuff people don't understand, and we are trying to sell the sport.
We're trying to explain the glossary as we go.
Yeah.
While we're telling people stories. So if anybody wants to share any stories with us, you can leave a comment for us in the YouTube stream, or you can text the show this evening on 53106, and there's plenty for us to get stuck into. We'll talk about the IHRB and that kind of stuff a little bit later on, but first I want to bring our guest in at this point. Valerie Keatley is with us. Valerie, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. It's been a big week for you. It's difficult sometimes for the industry to recognise people who aren't winning the trainer's title or winning big races, but this week was a big opportunity for the entire industry to come together and celebrate, and you ended up a winner, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
What was it like?
Yeah, it was a great week. It was a brilliant week, to be honest, to actually be recognised and to win my bit of then, and then come along and win the overall. It was just unbelievable. I can't describe it. It was just great.
So you won the Leadership Stable Award, and then the overall award is the Irish Racing Excellence Award at the Godolphin Stud and Stable Staff Awards on Wednesday, and that's the top award of the show. One of the things that, as Johnny's just said, we're trying to explain the glossary and how the actual industry works and the different roles that there are available to people. What do you do for Johnny Murta in that yard? What does the title head girl actually entail?
It entails a lot of things. You have to make sure everything is running smoothly. Care of the horses, the staff, literally overseeing everything, to be honest, because Johnny is so busy in and out of the gallops that he doesn't get to see everything. So if there's any little thing that I see, I pass it on to him and he deals with it then.
It's kind of like in other sports, director of football or director of rugby, and the head coach. You got to let the head coach free to be creative and do all that stuff, but you need an incredible team who are there to make sure that everything is where it's supposed to be and that everybody is doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, look, we have a great team in the yard. Everyone works really, really hard. We all go in the morning. There are lots. Johnny has the lots all down on the board. And everyone knows what horse they have to go to. If they see a little issue or a little problem, they'll give me a shout. I'll go check it out and leg them up. Then they go out and they walk around for 15, 20 minutes and they head out the gallops. And I'd go and I'd put horses on the walker. We've vibrating floor, horses go on that. So you're literally going the whole time. Do you know what I mean? It's quite a busy yard. It's quite an active yard at the moment.
It's not a job for egos, really, Valerie, is it? Because, like, when you think about it, you know, Ger mentioned director of football, but the head girl, and generally it's the head lad, obviously, as well, which we can talk about later. But, like, apart from sort of the racing circle, people don't really know these people yet. The amount of work you have to do behind the scenes is almost up there with the trainer.
Yeah, it is. It's, look, it's very, very hands-on. You have to know your job, to be honest. You have to have eyes to see every little detail. A horse might be passing you by and you say, whoa, whoa, it's a bit of a leg or something. There could be swelling anywhere in its leg that it injured in the stable. So you have to have your eyes open to what's going on around you. Do you know what I mean? That you can see these things. It's quite important like that.
I suppose what makes it so challenging for you is that your boss is so unenthusiastic and kind of boring day to day as well.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, if you can keep up with him, you're going well, because he's as fast as the horses the way he goes around.
It is magic.
He's very active. And I think because he's so positive and active, I think you get in that role. And do you know what I mean? You keep going. Do you know, you never get tired. You just keep going the whole time, to be honest. It's very, very active yard. We're quite busy at the moment, but we're getting results. Things are going quite well. So
I was going to talk about the results. Before we do that, I want to play this video, because this is the clip of the actual moment where you pick up. This is the second one, not the Leadership Stable Award. This is the overall Irish Racing Excellence Award. Have a look.
We had a great great time in Royal Ascot. Valerie's part of the team, but it just keeps getting better. Congratulations, Valerie. You're the overall winner of the Racing Godolphin Stud and Stable Staff Excellence Award. Congratulations, well deserved it. I know.
Well done, Valerie. It's an absolute honour to crown you the 2021 Irish Racing Excellence Award winner. I hope you can gather your emotions together for a moment to tell us what it means to you.
Oh God, this week has just been brilliant between Ascot and now this, and hopefully we can crown him with the Derby. Oh, it's special. Thank you very, very much. Oh, I can't believe that. Oh, I really can't.
So well
Thank
done.
Thank you, Look, Anthony and
Orla. We could see in your initial video how much it meant to you and how much working with horses clearly meant to you. So congratulations, a massive well done to you and to the team there. Well done.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Oh, God, that's special. Thank you very, very much.
Totes him out, Valerie. It obviously means a lot to Johnny as well, and to the yard and to the people who work there.
It is. As I say, we have a really, really good team there at the moment. Everyone pulls together. And look, it all comes down from Johnny and Orla. They're very positive about what they do. They really zoom in. Like Johnny, every horse is good to Johnny. Every horse is good. But he's good or not, they're good. And he means to get that out of them all. And I think that's driven across to all the staff as well. Do you know, they're positive in the place. And I think that really, really shows, so it does.
We had, I can't remember exactly what it was. It was some sort of maybe an Irish Champions Weekend preview or something or other anyway. But I remember Johnny Murta was one of the kind of guests. This is going back a few years now, and he just sort of started training Valerie. And I was talking to Fran Berry about this recently. He said Johnny always believes in his own ability, and at that time he was saying that I was saying, like, what have you picked up in terms of training and all that from, he said, well, I do the way things were done in Ballydoyle, give or take, you know, that's I picked up a lot there. But then he said I said, how much do you charge? Like, because, you know, it's important. He said, 60 quid a day. So I said, well, 60 quid a day, that's give or take 2 grand a month to have a horse with you, and you're not really proven as a trainer. And he said, yeah, 60 quid a day. I won't be cutting corners. I believe in that you need to, you know, pay, you need to do the best. You need to do the best by the horses. And I remember coming out that night, this is either going to go one or two ways, because, like, 60 quid a day is expensive for a trainer starting out, albeit at the Curragh. And look at him now.
Yeah, he's gone to the top. He's a really, really good trainer. But he puts the work in. Like, he feeds in the morning, he feeds in the evening, unless something else is wrong. And he's amazing. He sees little things and he'll say to me, can you check this? Can you check that? So he's unreal what he sees. He's exceptional what he does. Really, really is.
In a way, it doesn't make that much sense that he would be such a talented jockey and then could also transfer that skill into something which is actually completely different. I know it's super related, and the ability to understand when to push a horse, when not to push a horse, how well the horse was feeling in the middle of the race, at the start of the race, and all that kind of stuff. It seems like instinctively you should be able to transfer it to training, but it hasn't happened for loads of jockeys who were brilliant jockeys who then go and try and become trainers, and loads of brilliant trainers were mediocre enough jockeys. And what is it about him that you think has allowed him to be successful so quickly?
I think his positivity. He can't see himself do wrong. He's right. And it does. It comes true. Everything runs smoothly. Everything goes well. And as I said to you, he sees every horse as being good. And they are. 99% of them are good. And he gets that out of them. They're all fit and well. They're athletes. They're there to do a job. And that's what he sees, and it comes out with him, so it does.
What's your own background, Valerie? How did you get into racing in the first place?
I grew up with ponies. I left school at 15, but got a job straight away. And I worked myself up that I was in a racing yard. I started working in a stud then for my own peace of mind, how to do legs, farriers, vets. And I seen all that. I'd done about 5 or 6 years of that. And then went back to the race and then again. And that's what I've been doing. I've been with Johnny since he sort of started. And it's been a brilliant place. He's had loads and loads of success. I've been with him with the good horses. So it's brilliant. So it is.
When you left school, did you know that you were going straight into racing? Was it always the thing that, like, from the time you were 10 or 11 and with the ponies, you were like, I'm going to work in racing?
Yes, I love animals. I love horses. They're like a drug. They're brilliant animals. I think if you're around them a good bit, you get to know them all. They've all different characters, but they're absolutely beautiful animals. So they are. They're beautiful animals. I love them. They're like a drug to me. As I say, I'm not worried about money. It's the horse, and that's me. I just love them as an animal.
And I love working with them. Were you from a racing family, or how did the ponies come to be?
My mother was absolutely terrified of them, Lord Mercy. If she asked me to do something, I'd bring the pony into the kitchen so I didn't have to do it. She'd be gone running up the stairs. So my mother was terrified of ponies. My dad would have liked animals, all right. He would have taken in a few horses in on the land and stuff. He would have been a small farmer. But no, that's how I grew to love them. My next door neighbour would have had horses. So that's how I got involved with them.
I don't think as well now, maybe I'm wrong in this, I don't think you have to have any background in racing or horses whatsoever to fall in love with horses. And like, I've made this point a few times, Valerie, if you brought 100 kids, we'll say, like, say back in the day I would have gone to the Gaeltacht for 3 weeks or whatever and you tried to learn Irish, but 100 kids from randomly around Ireland, north and south, brought them to various training yards, spent 3 weeks with horses, like, how many of them would have fallen in love with horses?
That's what I'm saying. They're the type of animal, they're very easy to fall in love with, you know what I mean? And as I say, 90% of them, you do get a reward out with them. And you don't, there's a couple of kids in our place that have no horsey background, and they've went into race and have come forward and have, do you know what I mean, worked themselves up and are in Johnny's now at the moment. So, do you know what I mean? And he's great for those type of kids. Do you know what I mean? He helps them, shows them what to do. And then there's a couple of jockeys there as well that helps them. So, no, as you say, you don't have to have a horsey background to get into them.
Was it a controversial decision to leave school at 15 to go and work with horses?
No, I wasn't very brainy, and I just said, Mother, here it is, I'm out of here.
And that was it?
I left them.
Right.
And that was it.
There was no discussion?
Yeah, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. It was very easy.
How quickly did you get the job after that?
No, I literally started at 15. I'd left school and I got a summer job straight away, and that was it.
Right, so you weren't going back.
I was straight into a racing yard. No, I wasn't going back. I'm getting money. I don't care. I'll work myself up. And that's what I did. I think if you work hard, you'll work yourself up to something.
It's like, obviously, you have something a bit special as well to be put in charge of a yard the size of Johnny Mertes. So there's probably a bit of your story here where you're skipping kind of something, some penny drops, some deep understanding that you've reached of how the game should work and how it should run.
I've done a good bit of pre-training and I'm breaking horses. And I trained a few on my own and I had a little bit of success and a lot of horses ran well for me. So it was more or less from that. It was with the recession at the time, I had small owners and I was being left with big bills. And I remember ringing Johnny looking for a job and he said, look, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. And he rang me and the rest is history. I got the job with him.
That was when,
God I did.
When he was just starting up. So like, I'm just trying to work out the time frame here. When were you training and breaking horses?
For about 7 or 8 years before I went to Johnny's.
Right.
I was breaking and pre-training and all that type of thing. So with a combination of what I had done down through the years, I had built up to what I was able to do, and which you have to be confident in what you do then as well. Do you know what I mean? You have to know what you do. I think after looking at in working in studs, then into racing yards, it's what you push yourself. You'll get to learn different things. Like there's people working racing yards and they're just in it for the sake of it. But I pushed myself. I went through the studs. I went to racing yards and I got to watch and see all these things being done.
So you're soaking up information from different yards about how they do different.
Yeah, how it's done. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just brought forward, it was easier then to ask Johnny for a job like I did because I'd sort of pre-trained a broken, trained a few horses of my own that I sort of knew and I was quite confident in what I'd done.
Right. And did you enjoy being a trainer? Was it simply a question of at that time it would be impossible to maintain that as a career because of the recession?
Exactly. I had a few horses for myself and close friends and stuff that I had horses. I had 5 or 6 winners. A good few horses were placed. But as I say, the recession, and I was losing money. So I had to get out of it. It wasn't possible to stay doing what I was doing.
And is that a bit heartbreaking at that stage where you've left school at 15 and pulled yourself up by the bootstraps, gone around, learned as much as you possibly can, soaked up all the information, and you started to have some success and all of a sudden the arse falls out of the economy?
Yeah, it is hard. But I think the way things were going and it was getting harder and harder for me to get money in, I think after getting my first or second week's wages, I went, oh, this is the life now, thank God. It was so much easier then, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be actually getting the wages. Because when you're working for yourself, there'll be weeks, you're 24/7 and there's some weeks you didn't get money in. So you had to be careful with what you spend, what was going out and what was coming in. So as I say, when I finished and started working with Johnny, to actually get my first 2 or 3 weeks' wages was just brilliant. I said, yeah, this is so much easier.
And I've no doubt as well that the fact that you had managed to be successful on that scale gives whoever hires you great confidence that you're not just competent, but you know exactly what you're doing. And there's a real talent there that they can work with as well.
Yeah, exactly. And as I say, I think I've brought everything forward. As I say, Johnny, look, he knows everything, he sees everything. But I think I brought a little bit of my knowledge to him as well. And we work well together. We're a good team, I think, anyway. And as I say, with him nominating me, it just shows the belief he has in me too, you know, that we're a good team.
Yeah, of course. And so, like, I was wrong in characterising it as like the separation of the roles being very distinct, the head coach and the director of rugby or football, whatever. It sounds like you actually, everybody does a little bit of everything as well, and that there will be times when, you know, you have the responsibility for whatever program of training they're doing that day.
Yeah, exactly. If Johnny's not there with the COVID at the moment, it's hard. As I say, he's around 90% of the time. But if he wasn't there, it's totally left in my hands to keep an eye and go out and check things, go out to the gallops with the horses and stuff and make sure everything, like he would touch base every evening and what it'd be. That's very rare that happens because Johnny is very, very hands-on. I think he likes being in the yard. He likes to do things himself,
yeah,
which is good. You know what I mean? It takes a little bit of pressure off us. But look, if we see things, we have to answer back to him. But
Well, that keeps standards high when everybody is involved in it as well. Our guest this week is Valerie Keatley. You're listening to Friday Night Racing, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. This is Off the Ball on News Talk. You can get us, of course, on the OTB Sports app as well. It's free as well. You can download that in the App Store or on Google Play. Valerie, you talked about how busy it was, and in the video that we showed, you were talking about being at Ascot as well. So the success is obviously something that keeps everybody really buzzed and energetic and enthusiastic about things as well. And you're having a fair bit of it at the moment. So maybe talk to us about some of the actual horses in the yard. What was the situation like at Ascot when you were over there?
It was absolutely electric. As I say, I made a show of myself again crying when Matt Chapman came over to interview us. But I don't think people realise what it's like to actually have a winner there on the day. Like, we're every day working with these horses. We see them the whole time. And to actually walk that horse into the parade ring after winning is something special. I've been lucky enough to do it twice. I done it with Royal Diamond when Johnny was still riding, and with Great Belief, as I say, last week. So it's special. That means everything to the staff. It means a lot to bring the likes of those horses in. Do you know what I mean? It's super. It's absolutely super.
We spoke about Ben Cohen last week, actually, with Gavin Ryan. He was a little bit more nuanced, I'd say, in his celebration than you were.
Yeah, Ben said to me after, he said, God, I felt like crying. I said, why didn't you let it out? Do you know what I mean?
You're dead right.
It means a lot to us. And I think that really shows what we think of our job, what we think of the horses. Do you know what I mean? They're our priority. We wouldn't let anything happen to them. Do you know, they mean everything to us.
He was interviewed after you, the two-year-old winner in Tipperary there the other night. And, you know, he's a kind of a, I guess he's like a softly enough spoken fella, but I'm just thinking, you know, it's hard to get an ego in racing yards because it maybe there's so much of a team there. Like, that's, you're probably brought back down to Earthswell, but everyone is riding out and everyone's working together for the same goal, which is essentially a winner for the trainer.
Exactly. Look, Ben is very level-headed. He doesn't show it that he gets over-excited, but he's very, very, very professional at his job. And he's a really, really good rider. He's a really good rider, so he is.
Question in from Patrick watching on YouTube. I always notice the horses in the parade ring who have fancy checkerboard designs on their coats. Who does that? Is there a horse groomer?
Look, we all, when we lead up horses, there's quarter markers that we have, and we put quarter marks on the hind quarters. Look, there's different types of stencils that we have that we use.
Is that a brush? Is that how that happens?
No, it's a sort of a piece of plastic, and you just brush the hair the opposite way to it,
right?
And it just puts designs on their hindquarters.
It looks fancy. It looks like it takes for ages, but it sounds like it's like whip whip, and that's it. It's done, is it?
Exactly, right. It is. Once the horses are clean, it takes nothing just to do what you're doing.
I thought it was kind of a bearded hipster barber who was there shaving the thing on.
28 quid.
Yeah, 45 probably these days. Obviously not the case.
No, it's not. As I said, there's stencils that we use on each horse, and we just brush the hair the opposite way, and we just do zigzags, and they're done. And the horses look all brilliant, especially in this weather. It's quite easy to do anyway.
So what else is in the yard at the moment that you're very excited about that maybe we know a little bit less than than you guys do, obviously?
Look, a lot of the older horses are going quite well at the moment. Thank God they're all winning or be thereabouts. A lot of the two-year-olds haven't probably ran yet, and there are a lot of big horses. So, as I say, hopefully we'll have a good back-end year with them. But
That's consistent with what he said. We had him on a podcast lately, and he was saying this. I don't know, he's kind of half gone off the idea of getting the sharper two-year-olds because of the ceiling that you, you know, you reached. So I said to him, so it's like, it's great to think, well, this horse could come into his own as a four-year-old, to which he replied, that's great, but try telling an owner, listen, it's grand, it's £2,000 a month, but he'll come good in about 2 years' time. So I guess you have to balance it as well. Like, you have to run them.
You have to run them. And there probably is a lot of pressure on trainers to run these type of horses. But then, look, we're lucky that we have a couple of big owners, and they know that there is horses that do need time. And as I say, no one has stopped from coming into our yard. All the owners come in and out of the yard and they see what the horses are like. And as I say, Johnny talks to them and tells them each horse individually different what they're up to doing and what they're capable of doing and what needs time and what doesn't. So it's quite easy to do it that way. Do you know what I mean? That they know where to stand with their horses.
And it's probably nice to be called a girl again in terms of the head girl. And I always laugh when Aidan O'Brien talks about the lads. Like, the lads are essentially all well into their pension age or whatever, the lads. And I'm not suggesting you're anything like that, but that's a roundabout way of asking you. How many head girls are there versus head lads across the Irish, whatever there is, 300 trainers?
There's very few head girls that I know of anyway. I don't think there's that many, to be honest. No, I don't think there's that many head girls. Yeah, I couldn't name them off, but I don't think there's that many head girls.
Yet there's, you know, it's basically 50-50 in terms of the gender split for people working within the industry itself, which, again, is something I don't think we sell enough.
Exactly. I thought at the beginning of the COVID things, this is really going to get a knocking, but I think things have picked up quite well. And I think, I don't know, to me it feels that there's a lot more owners coming into it. Do you know what I mean? They're inquisitive. They're trying to get into it and things. And I think there's a lot more advertisement out there to get owners into, to get more people in as owners. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot more syndicates up and running and things. So, I think there's a good few, people out there getting involved in horses.
And in terms of a career pathway for the young women who are trying to get into the sport, it's obviously important to have jockeys, it's important to have trainers, it's important to have as high profile as you can be backroom staff as well.
You have to have the backroom staff. They're the people that are at home in the yard. They're getting it going, keeping it going, and getting these horses out on the day. As I say to any young person that are in our yards, work hard, push yourself. Do as much as you possibly can. And I'm not saying they'll all make it because they can't. But if you push yourself hard enough and work hard, you have a chance of getting to the top.
Well, you're right. Work hard. You're right there. Congratulations on the award this week. It sounds like it's completely well deserved. Thanks a million for your time today, Valerie, and continued success.
Thank you very much.
You have been
a shade
disappointed now on the whole emotional stakes. I mean, coming on off the ball was kind of like brushing your teeth compared to the other 2 days.
Oh God, thanks. I made a show of myself. I'm sorry, but look, it meant to work all your life at horses, actually nominated, people realised what it meant to me. It meant everything. It's just, it's so nice to be appreciated the way it was, and I can't thank Johnny and Orla enough for it. Do you know what I mean? It means everything. It means everything. And look, Godolphin, to actually stay sponsoring it, It's super that's still going ahead. You know, it's great. It's absolutely great. So it is.
Good stuff, Valerie.
I have a lot to thank them for.
Well done. Thanks a million. Cheers.
Thank you. No problem. Bye bye.
It is Valerie, a good point there. Because that actually is a good knees up. That stable staff awards night. It is like it's. I was invited a couple of times. Maybe Barbara White would sort of plan the tables like you would plan a wedding, you know, like, well, would he go well with her? Is that a singles table? Bit of an age kind of balance at that table.
All right.
You end up just being at a
tell
table.
Tell us about the gossip from the... Go on, have you...
Is that like...
I mean, maybe you don't want to tell us this gossip live.
You're
going to end up in a bit of trouble?
If you put racing people, at a function and they've a few beers, like, they because they're so lively and vivacious, they can't put, like, it's just a great night out. I was at a table with Paul Nolan and his gang, like, and Paul and James Nolan talking hurling, and Tommy Woods was, I think he won an award that night. Tommy's in his 80s now, and he was a bit like Valerie, very emotional. And you shouldn't underestimate how much this means.
No, absolutely. I know
it might mean nothing to people who are not in racing, but, her emotion wasn't, I mean, the Stephen Kenny interview last night, you know, a bit of emotion's a good thing at times, isn't it?
100%, absolutely. Because what's the point in keeping it in? We're all going to be dead at some point. Friday Night Racing and Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie or follow the Twitter account at HRI Racing. And the hashtag is Every Racing Moment. The racing this weekend, we should talk about the Carl.
Carl Eclipse tomorrow, yeah. The Racing in Ireland, Belluestown's festival ends ends tomorrow, which has been a 3-day festival. Again, you know, Belluestown is very much about the people. apparently racing goes back like to the mid 18th century in Bellewstown. I think there's stories of Napper Tandy and a few characters who might have had horses there, but
do you know, we should have talked about this week,
yeah,
the art collection of Barney Eastwood is on sale this week, and there's loads of racing pictures, including some Jack B. Yeats. His art collection is probably going to end up being worth about 100, 150 million.
Mm.
He had loads of Lucien Freud because he was the bookie. Himself and his partner were Lucien Freud's bookie. Lucien Freud was apparently a degenerate gambler who like couldn't pay his debts and so would whip out some paintings and give it to the lads.
Yeah.
And the lads built up this massive collection of paintings. And now, so the young minor footballer from Tyrone ended up with one of the great Irish... And there's loads of sports. There's a Jack B. Yeats painting of Kerry versus Dublin, the mascot, it's called. And it's going to go for 250 grand or something, or 340
And
grand.
On today's show, our special prize is, yeah, like...
Some Lucien Freud, because he couldn't pay his gambling debts.
Yeah. It's, well, yeah, like if you know, it's you've seen that down the years, but that's I omitted to mention that. Yeah, bit of Jack B. Yeats in the show.
So it was the mention of Bellewstown races. There's, I think, I don't know. There's definitely some ancient Irish racing photograph or paintings that were done that were part of the collection because I was looking at it.
If you're in the stand in Bellewstown on a relatively clear day, because it's up on a hill. Apparently, if you're into your cycling, there's some great climbs around Bellewstown, because it is. It's the Hill of Crockerfoot, I think it's called. But you can see the slither of coastline that Meath kind of has.
Yeah.
So, like, it's beautiful. I think you can see the...
Bellystown.
Over to Cooley and so forth and all that. Yeah, it's so... Like, obviously, I've gone on about this a long time. It is disappointing that people aren't there. And there's talk that maybe Galway might potentially get a few thousand people in. But the Eclipse tomorrow, Mishriff, Eldrama, St. Mark's Basilica and Adabe. It's a brilliant race for four runners. And then we've Bellewstown on... we've also Naist. And then on Sunday, it's Tremor and Limerick. Yeah, so good racing over the weekend.
Okay. The other thing, were you saying the IHRB are going to have a new leader at some point soon?
Yeah, this was... racing exists in... A bubble might be the kind of term for a lot of things in COVID, but racing does exist in a bubble. But Dennis Egan's decision to take early retirement as the IHRB chief executive was announced, I think, yesterday. And there's only been kind of limited enough reaction to it because obviously it's in its infancy, but the timing cannot but spark conversation because obviously the Rocks Committee have the IHRB, the Trainers Association and the Anti-HRI, I think, in next week to talk about basically the fallout from Jim Bulger's allegations. Jim Bulger is not attending, but Dennis Egan is actually, which kind of... You know, would suggest that, well, there's no timing relevance here, but I don't know. I mean, it just seems a bit strange that he's taken early retirement. He said it was the decision I have taken was in line with the condition of an early retirement scheme and has been something I gave deep thought to. He's 26 years at Turf Club and IHRB.
It's a long time.
It is, you know? Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that I think COVID made a lot of people think about a lot of things. And mm-hmm. if you have the opportunity to avail of a package... then I think fresh blood in an organisation like that is no harm.
Yeah, yeah, and it's a strangely anachronistic kind of private members body that's kind of publicly funded. So it has a lot of contradictions, and I literally haven't a breeze who could get that job. I've no idea if Paddy Power are going to have betting on it. I'd say it would take them a long time to come up with odds. But Richie Forrest has an interesting article in the Racing Post about it. I think the IHRB and the Turf Club that preceded this, maybe in recent years, there have been far too many controversies for the liking of the sport, which is obviously bad on one level, but at least it's suggesting that things are being done in terms of, you know, any drug-related issues. One thing I would say about Dennis Egan was I thought he was brilliant to deal with personally. I think his recent TV performances, he'd TV performance with Gary O'Brien and a TV performance with RTE this year, which basically betrayed the fact that the IHRB had appointed a spokesperson in the last year or two and he wasn't dealing with the media anymore. And I thought he suffered. I thought he was quite poor in terms of his performance, particularly with Hugh Cahill on RTE, which was around the Viking Horde case, I think. But having said all of that, something that I think should be mentioned, I had gotten word of a jockey who was going to be done for having tested positive for cocaine a few years ago, and Dennis Egan was extremely conscious of the welfare of the jockey, and I remember it was, if there's anything in the paper about this, you got to make sure that his family know about it, you know, and this, they cannot be reading stuff like this in the paper. And he was very conscious, and that's been referenced, I think, in some of the tributes to him, very, very conscious of the well-being of the people that he was looking after. And even if a jockey erred, he was always trying about the rehabilitation and like thinking of the people involved. So I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Okay, so we'll find out, I presume, soon enough who is going to get that gig, and they will have a job to modernise the communication strategy at least.
Yeah, it's been very poor, and it, you know, a lot racing kind of drags itself into the modern era, very much kicking and screaming. But you know, the Oireachtas committee is going to be interesting, because regardless of what you think of what Jim Bulger has intimated, it's kind of been the thing that everyone has been talking about, and a lot of people in racing will look at it and say, well, racing is bent, and we have to, you know, we have to do something about this. So hopefully, you know, a lot of these Ross committee, you know, there can be a lot of stupid questions asked. Hopefully the right questions are asked.
And there's generally a lot of grandstanding, people talking about tickets and the great stuff, and their grandfather went racing and the granny before that was a farrier, and the bell goes and that's your 10 minutes.
Michael Healy-Ray will not be at next week's meeting, I'm pretty confident. But yeah, there's a lot of that nonsense. But you know, all joking aside though, the IHRB will have a tough line of questioning, because a lot of people now will think, well, if Jim Bulger is saying it, it has to be right.
Well, it's really unfortunate that Jim Bulger isn't going.
He's never going to go.
I thought that he could have gone. I thought that there was loads of ways to go and to give more information and to stop short of naming people. And we talked before about how the protections aren't really there for people, and you know, we as a country decided that we didn't want people to have protections at the Oireachtas hearings. I think that was a mistake that we all made. But anyway, it's disappointing that he's not going, because if you go out and you start talking about this, you kind of have to follow it through. It's really important, and also you need other people. If other people have information to come forward and speak, and my concern would be that this would be the end of this particular part of the story, and the unanswered questions, they linger, and while the unanswered questions linger, you know. So look, maybe the new head of the IHRB comes in and speaks very clearly and speaks very well and sends out a message and uses all the powers available to them, and that gives people confidence, because that's where the confidence comes from. It doesn't come from everybody saying, no, there's nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Because that's not where...
No, absolutely. And one kind of anomaly of all this is Jim is no longer in the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, so... The Irish Racehorse Trainers Association, I don't know who's going to be, presumably Michael Grassick or whatever, he's not really bound to defend Jim Bulger in the sense that he's not a member of the organisation. So Jim is not represented in any shape or form.
Right.
And, you know, pretty much everyone there wants Jim to be wrong. The IHRB does not want what he's saying to be right. HRI obviously doesn't. We don't want drugs in the sport, and neither do the trainers. So Jim will be, I'm sure he'll be on his laptop or hard drive or whatever, watching this with interest. But he may well reflect on Dennis Egan's departure and say, you know, are all these things connected? What's coming down the tracks from IHRB? Because there could be a lot.
Okay. With none of us having Irish Derby winner Hurricane Lane in our stables, the tote 10 to follow standings remain pretty much the same. Tom Malone killing us. He's out in front on 218 points. None of our selections are set to run in Saturday's Carl Eclipse bonus race, so it seems Tom is secure in the top spot for another week. 218 he's on. I'm in second on 121, and you are Paddy last at 75 points. Very embarrassing, Johnny.
Dismal.
At some point you'll get over it, don't worry. That is your lot this week on Friday Night Racing. As ever, you can leave a comment in the YouTube channel, or of course you can text the show 53106. Friday Night Racing Off the Ball is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance you can sort anytime, online, then bounce on with your day. Get a quote today at GetZetGo.ie.